Welcome to the Pink Persuader on Mental Health, a podcast exploring mental health through honest conversations and lived insights. Hello and welcome to the Pink Persuader on Mental Health. This is episode 3 of this podcast and I am welcoming you all along with my very first guest to this podcast, my best friend of about 17 years and double amputee, mental health sufferer, Mr. Dennis Levy. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for letting me be the first guest.
It was a really important, I think, a really important conversation to have, because I think you are someone that I've known to have mental health issues most of your life. Like myself, you suffer with ADHD and autism. And then obviously then to then lose your legs. You know, that's just compiles everything, doesn't it?
Cherry on the top.
So obviously I know your journey, but a lot of these people that are listening probably don't know your journey. So can you sort of share with us like your personal journey and what led to your amputation of both your legs?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm happy to kind of share it as, you know, as I can remember it.
Of course, man. Yeah, there was a lot of trauma that day, so it's like, I can understand.
It was a big impact on my life, as you can imagine. So basically, I used to work at National Grid, like HQ. I was a cleaner. One evening, I finished a shift and went to see some friends after work. Left there, it was about 8:15, and about 8:30, it was about half a mile away from home, and unfortunately I got hit by a car. The interesting thing is I was on the pavement as a pedestrian, in an area where, you know, in quite a residential area, and you know, unfortunately no one saw it, but yeah, the car kind of spun across the pavement and caught me between the front of the car and a wall. And basically, you know, long story short, it twisted one of my legs off, and you know, really kind of badly damaged the other one, pulled the skin kind of, you know, halfway down my shin bone, you know, down to my ankle.
Yeah, and I've heard this. I know exactly what's happened.
You still look shocked.
And this is the thing. Like, and I think whenever I have conversations, I say that my best friend is a double amputee. Like, a lot, most people's mind goes straight to motorbike crash or something like that.
Army.
Yeah, that's or what army. A lot. Yeah, yeah.
In public, and people be like, "Are you in the army?"
Yeah.
No. I'm almost disappointed to say no sometimes.
I was just walking down a street in the pool.
Absolutely nothing particularly fun or like.
Yeah. But so then obviously, air ambulance pretty much saved your life that day, didn't they?
And the Coast Guard as well. I think it was the Coast Guard helicopter I went in, but.
Right.
But I think they did try and take me in the ambulance first. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a bit funky on that one, but
you were saved by the air. Like,
I mean, they were all involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every emergency service was pretty much involved in that you can think of. Ambulance turned up pretty quick, to be fair. I mean, not that, you know, my sense of time at that point was like,
yeah,
because I was still conscious after the accident. So, you know, it's just a lot of things that I don't remember that I would like to remember. But of course, all the stuff that I do remember is kind of, you know, not necessarily things you want to remember.
Yeah. But and you then spent a lot of time in hospital afterwards, didn't you?
6 weeks in hospital.
Yeah.
Which I think, in all fairness, for what happened to me, maybe 2 or 3 surgeries in that time.
Yeah.
Spent the first 2 days in a coma, like a medically induced coma.
Yeah.
And then was moved down to the ward and spent 4 weeks at Dereford, which I must say, the food there is bloody awful. Just absolute what? Like, here, we want you to get better, but eat this. It's basically made from cardboard. The staff are really
Just
good.
lost my legs. Give me
Oh,
something
yeah.
decent to
I
eat.
just want a proper pasta and be like putting up bloody, bloody carrots in it or whatever.
Yeah,
What's this? Yeah, 4 weeks in Therford, and then was it 2 week, two and a bit week
yeah.
of Trelisk, which is much
The
better.
thing is, when you finally come to Trelisk, that's when I finally was able to visit you and,
Yeah,
like,
brought the kids as well.
yeah, like the kids come to see you for the first time,
That
and
was good. I needed that.
yeah, oh yeah, I can imagine, like, you're their godfather and everything, and I can
Suddenly had to push
still,
it, didn't
yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, so like my young son, who was probably about three, two or three at the time, he was like he had to push you in the wheelchair, didn't he? And yeah, I've still got the video of that, and it's absolutely amazing. But
Bless him.
yeah, so I imagine, you know, I mean, I know, but like a lot of this has given you a lot of trauma, hasn't it? So
CPTSD for sure.
yeah, and you've actually now been diagnosed with PTSD, haven't you?
Yes.
But do you, I mean, personally, do you think you had PTSD beforehand, or is that the main contributing factor to
I mean,
your PTSD diagnosis?
I've been probably through some things growing up that maybe would warrant me saying yes, that I probably did have PTSD before, although, I wasn't suffering at a level that is comparable to now
Yeah.
by any stretch. Life's been hard from in mentally from about 18 for me,
Yeah.
19. I think my chronic depression started around then,
Yeah.
and whether that's linked to pre-existing PTSD or whether that's just like I start feeling that way.
Yeah. And
Some of it's environmental too,
yeah. And as well, you
autism
are,
and that.
yeah,
You can
autistic
make you feel
and
quite isolated,
yeah.
even though you want to be isolated, but then you don't. You want people here, but you just sometimes you're just like, I want people here, but I don't want them to be near me.
Yeah.
And you just think, oh,
Yeah.
hold on, there's no way you can say that to people, is there, without sounding rude?
It's that link of having ADHD and autism. The ADHD
Yeah,
wants to be
probably.
around people, and it wants to have fun and
It's the
do
push
things with
people.
people, and then you've got the autism that, like, is being antisocial and not wanting
Yeah.
to be around people at all.
Yeah.
And I get that battle. I mean, I have that same,
We're the same on
like,
that, aren't we?
oh yeah,
Yeah.
like,
We're identical.
yeah. Yeah, there's probably a reason we've been friends for 16 years and not fallen out in that
Probably don't
15,
see each
17
other.
years. Well, yeah, no, because we forget each other exists for years at a time.
Oh yeah, Dan exists. Come around the corner one day and just be, oh yeah, there's my best friend of nearly 20 years.
Yeah, that's
Maybe
one of
somewhere.
my. I forgot to give him my new phone number, so he
Oh
thought I died. Trying to phone
wow.
you for 2 days and.
Exposed me there as well. How dare you?
Oh dear. So, personally, from your point of view, how do you think becoming an amputee has, like, really affected your mental health? Obviously, there's the obvious, dealing with not being able to walk properly and everything like that. But how has that then developed your, like, how you struggle with your mental health differently to how you were before?
It's interesting because there's aspects that since my amputations, there's aspects of my mental health which have skyrocketed. Like my resilience, I think is probably what's grown through this.
Oh mate, you're like the most resilient motherfucker I know, honestly.
Thank you.
Like, I've witnessed the whole journey, and the way you've come through it, like, it would have broken most people. I think it would have broken me. Like,
Maybe.
but you've done absolutely
It's
amazingly.
hard to
Like,
say, isn't it? It's hard
yeah.
to say, but I knew that from the beginning I was going to have some level of bounce back if I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Some of it's a natural mindset, being ADHD, full well yourself, like no for an answer is difficult a lot. So it's like when
Yeah.
doctors say, "Ah, you'll probably never walk again," I'm like, "F you, I'm gonna walk again."
Bitch, please, I'm gonna
Yeah,
fucking walk.
I'm gonna do it. And it's like, and it's not necessarily like, rebellion or anything. It's just that It's like I know what I'm capable of and what I'm not pretty well.
Yeah.
And I think that's another way it's affected. But I mean, there's always a flip side, of course, and it's like, I mean, personal relationships are harder now. They did say back at the beginning, I had, you know, a few assessments on, you know, how things might be for me in the future. And he said, you know, because you already have chronic depression, there's a good chance it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And not stop getting worse.
And
like, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So that is the worst and the most scary part of the whole thing, is that, like, I didn't at the beginning think it was going to get this bad, because I've always been able to cope.
Yeah.
But then it has actually got to a stage back around Christmas of last year, when it was really, really bad, and, you know, thinking about suicide, and,
yeah,
you know, having thoughts about driving my car off Hal's mouth and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just to be honest.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think we've got to be honest about those times, because actually it's a big part. Yeah. And, you know, as one of your best friends, I didn't, you know, you didn't want to talk to anyone about it, did you? Like, you know, and I think it was months later that we finally, you know, you were finally talking to me about it, and we've done a lot over the last few months, haven't we, to try and improve both of our mental healths, because actually, you know, we both have our struggles with it, and it is up and down. Mm-hmm. And
you've been through some things too recently, haven't you?
Yeah. So,
there's been
a lot.
A display of resilience from both of us.
Yeah, like,
and same view as well.
Yeah, I mean, over the time, it's been, you know, what, five, was it 5 years ago, your accident?
Four years.
Four years ago.
Feels like 100.
So 4 years ago, you had your accident. Yeah. I genuinely thought I'd lost my best friend the day your dad sent me a message to say what had happened, or phoned me. I can't even remember if he phoned me or messaged me.
I can't imagine that, you know.
No.
I can't imagine I know that my parents had to phone a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I do know that, you know, quite a lot of people were upset, but they didn't tell me how many people they phoned or who they phoned, just that they did. And, you know, people were upset. But hearing about that is definitely...
Yeah, like genuinely at that time, I thought I was going to lose my best friend. Yeah. And then, obviously, you got better, which is... You know, and you're still here, you know, like, we're still doing things together. We're being able to do this podcast, you know, which is like a big thing. It's my baby at the minute, and it's great to be able to share that with you. And then, obviously, it was mustered out 6 weeks ago or so, 5-6 weeks ago. I then got told that a friend of mine had been taken into hospital. Well, obviously you met him as well. So yeah,
briefly.
Yeah, good. And yeah, he was a lovely chap, and unfortunately he lost his battle with his illness. And that's been tough on me. Do you know what I mean? Like, actually, yeah. Like, that's brought my depression and anxiety back up a little bit, and it's been a struggle. Like, so, you know, it is one of those things, and I think some of that is actually some of the trauma of, like, what it was like when you went into hospital. Like, that was a bit of a stark reminder in a way, because, like, I never thought I'd have to really deal with that again.
Even think about that element of it, really. It's just, you know, because I just kind of thought to myself, you know, you knew him really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Better than I did. And I met the fella once.
Yeah.
He made a really lasting impression on me.
Yeah.
For sure. So you can only imagine... But the thing is, like, over the last, since his passing, like, you have kept your head up, and
just about, yeah. I had a lot of support from AJ. My workmates have been brilliant, you know, really understanding. So yeah, and that's always the help, yeah. And having man down is, like, for me is, it's one of those things, like, you know, I've been able to talk about it, which is good, like. That's been really helpful. But yeah, no, it's been one of those. It's just, we had the funeral last week, so it's like, that's part of the recovery process, I think, as well. Sometimes
it's part of healing, isn't it?
You know, So it has been, it's been a process, but it's definitely getting there. But yeah, it's one of those, and it's sort of like, I think actually, it's when, yeah, doing this like today, like with my best friend, like it's one of those things that's, it's a real positive for me,
yeah.
Which is like, it's one of those days where it's like, yes, something good.
Brings you back some energy into your
yeah.
life, I think. Doesn't
yeah.
It gives you something to look forward to. Like, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing this. As I just quickly talking about Man Down, as I started going a couple months ago, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
A month ago.
6 weeks ago.
Yeah. And I've missed a few here and there, you know, just due to things and what have you. But the sessions I've attended have certainly helped. And it's like, even if it's just the fact that I've got out for the evening with my friend, like,
yeah,
there's times where that's like really, really helpful.
Yeah.
But just the camaraderie of the place, and like, you do go there expecting to feel like people is looking at you because you're new, and you know, like that, yeah. And will people really listen and accept what I say?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
And
but it really yeah. is like
yeah. that. And you've got the added thing awesome. of walking into somewhere on two prosthetic legs,
yeah.
And thinking, oh, are people going to judge me for that?
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, like I think it was one like my. It was a really proud moment for me the day that you came to Man Down, and you shared, and like I was really proud that you did that, and I was really proud of you. It was like a really proud moment that I managed to finally get you to come, because yeah, it's been a conversation for a long time,
over a
it?
Year I think yeah. you were
yeah
trying to get me in there, and I'm like, oh no, I'm talking about my feelings, go away. I'm 13 in my head, like,
yeah,
that's my problem.
That's what we are. I think sometimes we are a bit like that, you know.
From Kevin, I'm not slight.
But I still do it like now, yeah. And I class myself as a mental health advocate, someone that understands mental health, someone who advises people, talks to people online. Right. Yeah, I advise people through this podcast and all sorts of stuff like that. And it's like, still the few weeks ago I was really struggling. I had a few drinks, went on TikTok, and I was live on TikTok.
Yep.
Going, yeah, yeah, I'm fine, like holding back tears. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, do you know what? Actually, it took AJ turning around to me and going, Dan, you're being a hypocrite doing that. Like, because actually,
well, yeah.
You know, you want people to talk. Yeah, you're encouraging people to talk, but actually, then you're doing the complete opposite. You're bottling it up and hiding it from everyone else, and actually. You're not fine, so own it. And actually, I was like, yeah, the Pink Persuader needs to.
Right.
Like, that's, this is
your motto.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, not motto, but it's,
yeah.
It's your...
Yeah, it's my, part of my ethos. It's like,
ethos,
actually,
yeah.
Yeah, like talking about things and sharing and being open with things. It's yeah. like, it's all part of what I believe is a big help with mental health. And yeah, I will admit, when I start struggling then, I do forget that sometimes myself,
yeah.
which
yeah.
is the good reminder of having Man Down every 2 weeks, because actually then it's like, yeah, I'm in the place where I need to talk about this.
Yeah.
But what's brilliant is that over like the last few weeks where I've taken a bit of a break from social media at times, I had that one life where I went a bit crazy, and all my followers have been absolutely amazing. Like, people have sent me messages going, like, we're behind you, whether you're here or not. Yeah, you don't need to rush back for us, you know.
You've got a great community.
Oh, the community is fantastic. Like, I can't fault them. Like, the likes of, they won't mind me mentioning, Mel, Damo, Azeria, Fox, oh, I'm trying to remember everyone now. I've put myself on the spot. AJ's part of the community as well, which is brilliant. Like, yeah. She comes in and talks with everyone and keeps me in line most of the time, because I'm like, yeah, my ADHD brain goes off on tangents. Like, you know, but like, I've got some really awesome followers. In the time since the last podcast, I've run the Plymouth Half Marathon as well.
You did, yeah.
Azeria, who is one of my TikTok followers, actually travelled all the way down from Nottingham to come and support me during that.
That's insane.
Like, we'd never met in person, literally come all the way down. which is absolutely awesome, you know. So it's been, yeah, it's been a hell of a journey, like, this last few weeks, honestly. But, you know, it's, yeah, it's getting there in a way, I think. I'm still not 100%, I know that. Like, I probably won't be 100% for a little while, but
can you?
No, exactly, you know. So, but I'm gonna keep being the Pink Persuader, because being the Pink Persuader helps. Do you know what I mean? It really keeps me going. I enjoy it and have a lot of fun with it and try and help people as much as I can. And in that sense, it helps me.
Yeah. What would you be doing otherwise? I mean, just working.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I know you well enough to know that you're not happy with that.
Yeah.
Well enough to know that you have to have something else on the go.
Yeah.
To do, at least.
I don't have any hobbies like that. TikTok and doing this podcast. These are my hobbies. Do you know what I mean? And I really enjoy that.
Hobbies.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. It is important.
Hobbies is important for people with depression.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You ain't got a hobby that you can crack on with. Mm. I mean, I think that applies doubly to people with autism, ADHD, both. You know.
Yeah.
But it's like, I just got back into cameras and film cameras and things. And
yeah, I think that's important. Like for you especially, like, you need to get out and about and do things, don't you?
That's definitely a big help, that as well. Yeah.
And like, obviously, music's a big one for you as well, isn't it? Yeah. Like,
musician of 20 odd years or something.
Yeah.
Like that. I think a couple decades worth of playing guitar for sure.
And you're good at it, and you enjoy the process, don't you? You know,
okay, I'm all right at it. Are you okay?
Yeah,
I'll be all right. I'm not at a point of it where I can't say to people anymore that I'm shit.
Yeah, no, you can't.
A po-faced lie.
That's it. Yeah,
I'm not like Steve Vai or nothing.
No, you know, but
I can play guitar well enough to entertain myself and other people.
Yeah, and I've been a huge fan of yours since we were at college together. Anyway,
I did the rock and roll thing anyway.
Yeah,
you know, been in bands and.
Yeah,
I think I'll always miss that. I'll miss that. That's one aspect of my life that it took away. That I think it's probably, as much as I don't want it to be, maybe it's gone.
Yeah,
it's gone in the sense that it was then. You know, I can still play music.
Yeah, you're not gonna be running around the stage like a lunatic and doing flinging guitar around your neck and stuff like that. Yeah,
and just the thought of doing it all from like the wheelchair and the prosthetics is not, it's like daily life, unfortunately. Yeah. These days is like hellishly tiring.
Yeah,
wheelchair usage is about as knackering as you can imagine, and prosthetics are even worse.
Yeah, I've seen the journey. Yeah. Like I've been there. I've watched you trying to. Yeah, I've seen you nearly fall. I've caught you when you've nearly fallen. Yeah. You know,
we have to be fair at some point.
Yeah, you know,
bungled me into a car.
I bundled you into a car. Yeah, scared the living daylights out of people. Because
what the hell are you doing, man?
Like, yeah. Well, you told me to grab hold of a stump and shove you in. I won't repeat the words that I said, because that probably would get me banned. He was not offended, by the way. We deal with a lot of the trauma that we've had from that accident with humour, don't we?
We do.
You know, we take the piss out of each other. We probably say things that people don't think we should say.
Oh, definitely.
I made a comment the other day, actually, after you lent me the van, and I called it the mobile that we call it. And,
yeah, I know exactly what you're referring to.
I said it in front of one of my colleagues, and like, you can't say that. I was like, well, I can. It's my best friend.
I was going to say, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't go up to a random like disabled person and talk to them the way I talk to you.
No, of course not. No. But
we've built this over a friendship of 17 years.
You're allowed to.
Like, yeah. I can just about say things.
We've been mashing on each other for fuck it.
Since we were 16.
I was going to say, for however long we've been friends.
Yeah.
Mashing on each other, like, in a fun, loving way. Like,
yeah, oh, 100%. Like more, it's that banter, isn't it?
Big old Dan with big old belly.
Hey.
It's good. He quit day beer, so he's still got belly.
Yeah. Hey, it's bought and paid for. I'm not getting rid of it.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm tight as it is, mate.
You can keep it until you pay for it. He's got a belly on finance.
But this is the thing, like, yeah, people look at me and they judge. I think you get that as well, don't you?
You
do.
In town.
Like, I get it because of my appearance, like coloured hair, piercings, head tattoos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You get it for, obviously, being an amputee. How does that actually feel, like, for you? Because, I choose to be like this. You know, judging me is a bit of a, like, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to be, you can rest on the laurel of being like, well, I've chose this.
Yeah, yeah. 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 But, like, for you, this wasn't a choice for you.
Yeah.
You know, like, but you do get a lot of, like, people looking, yeah. Judging, probably.
People assume my ability levels, which I think is what upsets me the most.
Yeah.
As I've said this from the very beginning, is that, you know, people be like, you know, doing things, like preemptively do things to try and be like, oh, you're disabled, so you probably can't do this. And so, or people just want to help. And it's just like, but the thing is, like, I don't necessarily really want the help. But I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of disabled people. And the thing is, not problem, the thing is that there's a lot of people out, disabled people out there who won't ask for help, who will just kind of, you know, look around until someone offers to help, which is fair. Like, it's difficult, and it can feel embarrassing.
I think
that's the thing. It can feel embarrassing to be going down the road, and like every other person is looking at your legs or you being in a wheelchair, and you just think, like, it makes you feel like a freak.
Yeah,
like an outcast. And it's like, the thing is, if I had normal legs, you wouldn't even recognise my existence.
Thing is, as well,
I'd be nobody.
Yeah,
but I think for some reason, like, having no legs makes me somebody in people's eyes, and that's what's confusing about it.
Yeah,
like you know, people want to know me, but only want to know me because they want to know about my story.
Yeah,
and then after that, people are like, oh, right, cool, and then they go.
Yeah,
it's like I've actually have now stopped replying to people in that sense. Like, if random people come up to me, I don't care how polite they are, the answer is no, you're not hearing the story. I've told it enough over the last four times.
Yeah.
Over the last 4 years, I've told it enough times.
What you can do now...
To you know...
If someone comes up to you and goes, what's your story? You tell them, go and listen to The Pink Persuader on mental health.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. You've sold it. Nice.
I've now got rights to the story.
Yeah, I know. Or Apple will.
But yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Like, you know, I mean, I've helped. Like even when I've offered to help you, you struggle to let me help, don't you? And I'm your friend of years.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think I remember the first time you came around to my house after the accident. Yeah. You had no prosthetics.
Yeah.
You literally just had a wheelchair that really didn't.
Not even this one.
No, it wasn't even light, was it? It was quite light. And what was it? You used to bum shuffle up the stairs, didn't you? You used to lift yourself up the stairs on your hands and, you know. And then you get to the top stairs. I had to lift you back into the wheelchair at that point as well, didn't I?
It did.
Like,
yep.
And I mean, to be fair, I'll do it again. Do you know what I mean?
I know you would. I know.
Like, doesn't bother me at all. But how did that, like, for you... How did that feel? I don't think I've ever asked you how that felt. Like, yeah, we've had conversations about it, but...
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, it's like, I think it's nice because it's like, there's an element of like, well, you know, my best friend, my brother, you know, he cares enough for me to not have... You don't feel any embarrassment about it.
No.
But I do.
Yeah.
Or I did. Now.
Yeah.
But at the time, it did feel like a bit embarrassing. Because it's just like, I'm having to have someone else manhandle me.
Yeah.
In a way that particularly I don't want.
Realistically, you didn't do it in the best way either.
Anyway, but it's not like you're like eager to.
Oh no!
Freaking do it! You're not like, oh yeah,
it's not like midget
my hands
off
your head, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
So you know what I mean? It's not. And I don't mean it embarrassing in the sense of like, you know, shameful or whatever.
No,
but in the sense of like that is how just the feeling that came up. It's like it's not. I'm not connected to that feeling though. If that makes sense.
I think that's a completely valid feeling though.
Yeah.
100% is a valid feeling that actually, you know, you had to be chucked around by your best mate.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, yeah. I can imagine it probably was a bit like, you know, Jesus, I just wish I could do this myself.
Embarrassing might be the wrong word. Like, but then I don't want to say degrading. I think degrading is too strong of a word, really. Like maybe dehumanizing.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way of putting it. I didn't feel human at that point. I felt like something else.
Yeah.
You know, when, and especially like felt like that in hospital before, like pre prosthetics.
Yeah, I bet.
But, and the thing is now, look, I don't actually use my prosthetics a great deal anymore.
No, because that was like the big thing as well, wasn't it? We were like, when we first started talking, like the be all and end all was getting the prosthetics and
yeah.
Being able to do more. But actually, I think that's sort of developed over time of actually their handy aid.
Yeah, they allow me to do things that other wheelchair users can't.
Yeah.
Because I can, if that makes sense. But I've developed a way of living from a wheelchair that works for me.
Yeah.
You know, I still got one good knee. So I kind of use that, you know, I improved my balance quite
yeah.
a bit recently. And kneel up on my knee and push, you know, get up into the wheelchair. You know, I don't do things the standard disabled way.
Yeah.
And people be like, oh, you know, why do you make it harder for yourself? Well, yeah, no, it does make it hard for me. And that is correct.
Yeah.
Like, there's an element of, like, if you make things easy for me, you're essentially giving a lazy man a way to be lazier.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
No.
Quite frankly, like, if you leave it to me, I'll just fucking do nothing every day. So, you know, that there's an element of life as well that I think you probably know a bit about as well, is like procrastination.
Oh yeah, that's the
honestly
that,
hit myself on the
yeah.
freaking head with a hammer, like sometimes with the amount of frustration I feel over it. It's just like, I wanna do this. I can do it. I got the finance, I've got the patience, I've got the skills, I've got whatever. And you just sit there and it's like
There's no reason why for it, though, is there? Yeah, there's no reasoning for it, is there?
So I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know you won't do it tomorrow. You know you might as well just do it today.
Yeah. I get
it. Doesn't it?
It's like a big thing with ADHD, though, isn't it? Like it's that that freezing and like that. What's the word I'm looking for? Paralysis.
Paralysis
that you
yeah.
get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where you want to be doing things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people, I think it's a big misconception with ADHD especially, is that people expect us to be bouncing off the walls all the time, but we're not. And actually, a lot of the time, yes, we get our hyper moments where we are like running around like absolute lunatics.
Sometimes.
But yeah, a lot yeah. of the time, it's your brain that just doesn't stop.
Yes, yeah, like it's not stopping, but also like outwardly people, but it looks to outsiders like you have stopped.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, you'd be, you know, when you zone out.
Yeah, yeah.
And people be like, you're not listening. It's like, well, I am, but I'm also listening to what's going on in my head too.
Yeah.
And it's like 17 conversations going on in there. And like,
and it's processing that audio as well. Because you know, it's something I've literally discovered in the last few weeks is that, yes, I've got mild hearing loss, but I've potentially got auditory processing disorder. And I'm like, okay. Right, so basically, I can hear things sometimes, but my brain just doesn't want to process that
that's
stuff.
Like a bugger, that is.
And it's like, apparently it's a thing very common with neurodiverse people with ADHD and autism and probably all sorts of the spectrum conditions that are now linked with these conditions.
I do that.
Yeah.
I do have something similar. I don't think it may be quite as bad as you, but there's just occasions where someone will say something, I'd be like, what? And then they'll start repeating it, and I'm like, oh yeah. Know the answer,
but that's wrong like, with everyone.
Like, don't,
do you know what I mean?
Don't be like, question anymore. Stop. I already know. Stop. And then they keep on answering the question.
Yeah. 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 It's an absolute nightmare, isn't it? Like, and I think we live in a neurotypical world.
Yes.
As neurodiverse people, and it's not an excuse to be different. Yeah, it's not an excuse to be a shitty person, is it?
No, definitely not.
Like, and some of our
100% agreed.
Some of our things that come with ADHD and autism can come across to people as being shitty people. Yeah. We are 100% not. Like, I know that.
I can be.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think we can all be at some point in our lives.
I can be reasonable when I'm upset, and I know that.
But ADHD or autism is the reason.
Yeah,
but it's not an excuse, is it?
No, totally. You can still put your hands up and say you was wrong. Or
yeah, this is it. Like, I shouldn't have reacted like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And we've got to try and fit ourselves into this neurotypical world. And we're both bringing up kids. I mean, I know, like, for sure, my son is going through assessment processes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know about Fred. I mean, do you think Fred's possibly on the spectrum and stuff like that, or?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't like to say we it has been discussed.
Yeah.
In the family, he exhibits signs of it.
Yeah.
The school and the doctors have said that basically he functions well enough that, you know, a formal assessment on the NHS would be, they're basically saying he's not autistic enough.
Yeah, but
he's not neurodivergent enough.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that because they have to.
Yeah.
I understand that they have to put levels on it, because quite frankly, like, they can't treat
everyone.
They have to make rules. I get it.
Yeah.
Is it fair? No, absolutely not.
But my point to that is more the fact of, actually, we're teaching young kids that actually, yeah, okay, it is perfectly normal for you as a neurodiverse person to feel this way.
Yeah.
But as well, it's not an excuse for you to, like, hit people or do nasty things. Do you know what I mean? We've got to now try. Yeah, because we were never understood like that as kids, were we? Do you know, it was like, it was never like gentle parenting of that age, was it? Like, do you know what I mean? Gentle parenting just wasn't a thing.
Just wasn't, didn't exist.
Yeah.
No, it was tough cookie parent. And as well, like, we grew up in relatively, contextually poor areas.
Yeah.
Or a poor area of the country, really.
Yeah.
Because all the Cornwall was relatively poor.
Yeah,
in comparison to some other parts of the country, right?
Mm.
We grew up, I must say, I grew up quite poor, in all fairness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just that's the way it was. And, that's stressful too.
Yeah, and this is the thing. It's like, now we're learning from that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, people might listen to this and go, oh, you blame your parents for where you grew up. But actually, it's not their fault, because they learned from their parents, who are actually...
Yeah.
Even harder.
Nobody
knows.
That's the thing.
And this is the thing.
My grandparents were pretty hard on my parents. I know.
Yeah. So actually,
it had to be.
Each generation is learning from each other. Do you know what I mean? There's still aspects of, like, my parents' parenting that I use. Do you know what I mean? So, and there's the aspects of the gentle therapeutic parenting that I've learned being a support worker with children.
It's a mixture.
I'm not saying I'm perfect. Do you know what I mean? I still lose my shit every now and then. Do you know what I mean?
But yeah, with your kids, that are
what,
like,
parent does
five and seven. Yeah, so it's like they're at that age where you're gonna.
And
you have two, and I mean, at least one of them is neurodivergent. Mary, I would like to say, but
no,
That adds to it. But then as well, here's the thing that I just wanted to go back quickly.
Mm.
Talking about Fred and me and Sid and Mary and us, is that I do think, though, that, like, us knowing that we have ADHD, autism, allows us to become better parents to children that are neurodivergent. Because, like, this doesn't apply to a neurodivergent person, but I over the course of my life, I've done things wrong because I thought they were right. But then when I've learned that they're wrong, I put myself right and kept myself there as much as possible.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that being an autistic parent to an autistic child is probably the best, because at the end of the day, there's no pill. If you've got ADHD, you might be able to get dextro amphetamine, whatever amphetamine. They call it. You
yeah,
know.
Basically.
But
yeah.
But even then, that's like not a, it's not a one size fits all solution.
No.
There
was actually
there's,
like
there's just guide your children, yeah. your autistic children, in an autistic way
yeah.
through a world that, like you say, isn't for autistic people. But quite yeah. frankly, this world isn't set up for anybody who's disabled because
no.
Because we're a minority.
Yeah.
And you know, it's unfair, but it's you know, I think maybe my view on it's like maybe quite stoic or like conservative instead
yeah.
like the hand I have isn't fair. The amount of help that I don't get isn't fair. But that's what it is.
Yeah.
That, get on.
Unfortunately.
And
live, yeah.
And you know, get to that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
And stay under it. If your glass ceiling won't let you through, but get up to it and fucking stay there.
Yeah.
And enjoy what you can.
Yeah.
Because
and this is it.
Accepting that you don't have everything. Is accepting that, and as well, here's an interesting concept that I've been talking about in therapy. Right, is like accepting that you might not ever accept.
Yeah.
And think about that.
Yeah.
Because that's a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah,
you,
this
you,
is
you
it.
Can accept that you might not ever accept something.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's easy.
No.
Or achievable in a lifetime. It's
yeah.
a political concept that you can think of and work around and be like, yeah. It's a good way to frame things.
Yeah.
And framing things, I think it's always like you can take a set of information about your life and say, oh, actually, let's look at it this way. Let's look at it in a different way.
Yeah,
purpose
and,
things,
and this is the thing, you've got to look at these things in a certain way, haven't you?
Yeah.
Especially when you're struggling with your mental health, it's really hard to look at things objectively.
Yeah.
Very. But obviously it sounds like therapy's like been a good thing for you as well, like
yeah.
Some people don't like therapy, some people don't get on with therapy, but I think it's been a really helpful thing,
right,
for you.
Therapist,
yeah,
has unlocked, you know, after the accident, yeah, I got paid out, you know,
yeah,
from the driver's insurance, and you know, one of the first things I did was you know, use the case management company to find me, you know, a reputable therapist who they thought I'd get along with. He's called Tim Salzman, and yeah, he's I've been working with him for about nearly 2 years now.
Wow, that's a long time, and,
yeah.
and you must build up a hell of a relationship in that time as well.
Massively,
you know, and that's important.
He's one of the very few people on this. Actually, he is the only person on this planet who understands me,
yeah,
in my entirety.
Yeah,
with the information I've given him.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah,
he knows a lot more about me than anybody.
Well, this is it.
But because, like, you know, it's impartial,
yeah,
you know, he's not there to necessarily like do or say anything, but just to kind of, you know,
yeah,
guide and guide me through the process of it. I think it varies from person to person. It's like I know my mind really well,
yeah,
I'm relatively self-aware. So for me, like, therapy is about expressing myself and knowing that I can just do that,
yeah,
and you know, I can't affect any relationship negatively or positively. I think that's because in therapy you can get upset, you can get angry, you can get
irate,
you can cry, you can laugh, you can be happy still in your therapy.
Yeah,
you don't have to show up any given way or use it in any particular way. And I think there's a stigma around therapy.
Yeah,
is that, like, you know, of course, when people, and here's the biggest thing, isn't it? It's like the mental health services in this country basically have made it so people are scared of therapy.
Yeah,
because the therapy that we get for free in this country is, let's be honest, useless to most people.
Yeah, no, I mean,
because it is the shape of a jigsaw piece.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but everybody else is, you know, they've got a square jigsaw piece, but some people might be circle.
Yeah,
some people might be dodecahedron.
Yeah,
and you know what I'm saying? Well,
it's not
the same.
Yeah.
But and that's the benefits of private therapy. That's as expensive.
Yeah,
and you know,
it's not available to everyone, is it? I mean.
No,
that's
the problem I have with it.
It's awesome that you've got that. I mean, like,
yeah.
Someone like myself.
I'm so lucky.
Like, I can't afford private therapy. I've had talking therapies through the NHS,
Right.
and both times I've had it,
You didn't find it
no,
helpful.
I didn't find it
But
helpful at all.
then that's the thing. It's like two sessions.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
And I say that, with the greatest respect still for the NHS, because we're lucky to
Oh,
have them.
100%. Yeah, we are
But
lucky to have it. We're not slating them.
no, but at the same time, like, the government budgets obviously need to be changed,
Yeah.
because two sessions isn't enough. Considering I have complex problems, fine, but I've had 2 years of therapy. And I
Yeah.
wouldn't even say that I've made broken off the tip of the iceberg,
Yeah. And this is the thing. It's
I could
like
still sink the Titanic today.
Yeah. And that's what we know. That's
That's
also what's underneath
right,
the
exactly.
water.
That's
Do you
what
know what I
scares
mean?
me. That's what's
Yeah.
scary, isn't it? You look,
Yeah.
you're like, oh.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I like to think of myself as pretty self-aware most of the time.
You are, yeah.
I have my moments when I'm not.
We all do.
But like, I do wonder sometimes how much is in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I think I deal with things better than I ever used to.
Definitely. I know that for sure.
I mean, the amount of times I used to drink my way through depression, and it would be like the answer was at the bottom of a bottle,
I've seen those
like.
mistakes. I've seen and like back around the time when Tane played at the Dragon a few times,
Yeah.
that was like coming towards the end of your marriage was that was I was worried about you then. I
Yeah.
was keeping an eye on you, because
Yeah.
it was like, I had my own. I think I might have been going through divorce pretty much, or like separation just that
Just
I was
before
just
then.
before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like,
Yeah.
what, 2021, I was thinking.
Yeah,
So
something like
3 years
that.
later,
Yeah.
oh no, I was already out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still like, that was something as well, wasn't it? Blimey.
Yeah.
That's a big life event
Yeah. And I tell you
that I've
what,
been through. That sucked.
I think it's one of those things sometimes actually when, yeah, and a lot of people don't get this when they come out of their marriages and stuff. And I've seen so much of it, like a lot of hatred.
Yeah, right,
And I know me and my ex-wife, we've had our issues, but I think like the main one was like her dad kicked our asses and was like, "You need to get on for the sake of the kids." And we do, and do you know what? He was right.
Yeah, fair play to him.
And do you know what?
Yeah.
We both make a real effort now to get on, like to be friendly, and work together. Because actually, at the end of the day, we're both parents. You know, we want to do what's best for our kids. So actually, that would be my advice to anyone. Like, I know some marriages end really messy,
It's not
but
ideal.
always just do what's best. Do as much as you can to be like the best people for your kids, even if it's not all the time. Don't show them like. But I think like as a big thing for like what you know the journey that I've seen of like my experience as well. Like, it's not good for your mental health when you are fighting like cat and dog. Like, it made me feel awful.
It was
Since,
hellish.
yeah,
Yeah.
and since we've now been grown up about, you know, we've grown up about things, you know, we get on, and actually, yeah, we get on to like a friends level in a way. Yeah, we can go out and do things, you know, as a family. You know, when it's the kids' birthdays, we can do parties together. You know, we can go for a
Brilliant.
day out together. Do you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
that's not, you know, like the first couple of times it wasn't easy, but how much do the kids love it? They loved it a lot.
It's all for the kids.
Yeah.
It's all for and e even if that's all always what it is,
Yeah.
like that's just important. And I think I have a similar relationship with my ex-wife in that, we don't we haven't ever had a fight since, since our separation.
Yeah.
And we both said that. We both said that we're not interested in using kids as leverage,
Yeah.
trying, as leverage, because it's just not. I mean, quite frankly, I love the boy more than I love anything. So,
Yeah.
using him as a pawn in a game of chess is, I'm too old for that. You know, personally, like I feel personally like I'm too mature to bother with that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's I try not to. You know,
and unfortunately, it does happen. It does happen a lot. Like I see lots of, lots of cases of it. But you know, I think from a personal standpoint, if you can ever do the best to get on, then I've learned that lesson after the fact. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, as I've said, it took a kick up the backside first.
Right.
But you know, actually, it works. And this is where I think things. I think just generally, like, as people, like, we need to be better. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that from a man's point of view or a woman's point of view.
No.
People just need to be better. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I agree. I agree. You know, we do. It's a motto that we, was it Frank Tone?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Was it?
No. I don't think it was Frank. Yeah, he did write a song, Get Better. That was a really cool song. I love that.
Oh, I'm thinking of something else.
Turning
into me now.
Joey Swole.
Oh, that's it. Joey Swole. Yeah.
Joey Swole. I think
do better.
Just do better. And I'll tell you what, it's true, though. Like, yeah, people, we just need to...
Especially in the gym as well, Chris.
Oh, God. Gym gym etiquette and, like, being a good person at the gym just seems to be, like, a real hard thing for people.
People don't even spray down the bench anymore. It's like a sweat patch where they've been laying their head.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. I was laid down anyway.
Well, I'm going to shower afterwards.
You can't kill me.
Well, this is the thing. Someone's tried already. Yeah, no, it didn't work.
It's one of them, isn't it? It's like freaking. It's the irony of life, you know.
Yeah.
I want to be alive. I want to be alive.
No, and this is it. But this is the thing, isn't it? Like, you've come through a situation that probably could, probably should have killed you.
I would imagine, right? It would have killed like 99% of people.
Yeah.
And in all fairness, like, it probably came about as close as you would like to killing me.
And
it did.
And it's probably like, at that time,
just survived by
you weren't good luck. Like, you were probably at that sort of stage in your life where you probably, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you weren't suicidal, but if someone had gone to you, you're going to die tomorrow, you'd be like,
You're exactly right. I'm still like that person, like, to tell you the truth. Like, if someone was to say, you're going to die like, in a couple months' time, I'd probably just be like, cool. All right. And I know that's horrible. I know that's not right. And the point I'm going to make is that's the way I know that I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I also know that it's not actually reality.
Yeah.
Like, my brain's just like, my brain has problems and it's saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, of course I want to live, you know. I've got friends, I've got family who, you know, who will be devastated if, you know, I left this astral plane.
Yeah.
Also, I believe that I have no control over that.
Yeah.
As evidenced by my actual.
Because
quite frankly, you know, if I was going to die that night, if that was my designated day to die, then I would have died.
Yeah.
That's just, I had a funny relationship with death before the accident anyway, is that I've always relatively not been scared of dying as much as just been like, rather not.
Yeah, yeah.
Up until recent years, you know, just been like, rather not die.
Yeah.
It would be inconvenient for my family and maybe for me as a spirit.
But this is the thing. Like, I mean,
it comes to us all. We all die. We're all born and we all die.
But I think what you've said there perfectly emulates what I would say as well. It's like, I'd be more worried about, like, the people that I've left behind.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not worried about myself.
No.
Like,
I believe the spirit carries on after this. Like, and does other things. So, you know, personally for me, I'm happy.
Yeah. In that sense. It's the thought of, like, your kids.
Yeah.
Your kids, partner.
But it's the world.
Like, yeah.
I couldn't imagine. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine not being here for my kids anymore. And that's normally one of the things that keeps me out of that suicidal thoughts thing. And don't get me wrong, I've had those.
Yeah.
You know, I've been kicked up the arse. I've talked about it, I think, in episode one of the podcast, that my sister kicked me up the arse a couple of times to really get me out of those situations where I've been like, I just want to go. And sometimes when you're in that situation, you don't think about the effect on everyone else. But that's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't try and guilt myself, but it's like, you know, the kids. You want to be around for the kids, you know.
Yeah.
I do the same with self-harm as well.
Right.
You know, I don't want my kids to see that. You know, I don't want the kids to see that I've cut myself or I've done things to hurt myself. And you know what? You know, and I like to think that I can be an example to people that, yeah, have been through it. And you know, I'm nowhere near had like the worst experiences for self harm like some people have. But yeah. I'm currently, I mean, as we talk, 11 months clean.
Nice.
Like, and that's a big thing. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I will be 12 months clean next month. Do you know what I mean?
Excellent.
And
1 year.
Yeah. Like
1 year token.
Huge milestone.
Brilliant.
But do you know what? Like in the last 6 weeks, I've had those thoughts of self harm. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not.
Rightly so.
Like.
I mean, in a sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not gonna lie about that. And that's been tough. That's been really hard.
Yeah.
But one of the things is like I sit there and I tell myself like, you know, I don't want to disappoint people. I don't want my kids to see this. Mm. And part of that is like my experiences. You know, I think I'm an example these days to, you know, to people around me. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, actually, I want to be better. I want to be better. It's for me. Like I want to be that example.
Yeah. I think there's
yeah.
Man, you are, and you know, you've got a community of people that we mentioned earlier, you know, that look up to you.
Yeah.
Because you do that. Which is important. And I 100%. Think a lot, the thing is like there are other people on TikTok who are mental health advocates, but you know, and I don't know any names, so I'm not gonna be like this person
yeah.
that person. But there's somewhere I'm just a bit like just seems like you're doing that because you want the attention of like being a mental health advocate, you know, and I'm using inverted commas, but like there are people on the flip side who you can tell are real genuine. It's like you're not doing it because you particularly want the respect, but
yeah,
but because it's an important thing to you.
Yeah. This is the thing. I'll quite often say, like, I don't think the Pink Persuader on mental health is going to be a big podcast in the world, but if it reaches the right people, it reaches that person that's struggling at that time and it makes someone feel better.
That's what's most important.
That's what matters to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Am I going to become a world famous influencer on TikTok? No, probably not. But
you never know.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
That really doesn't bother me.
I don't think.
Shouldn't. You know, I'm in it to do what I do and help people. You know, the only thing that pushing my profile out there does for me. And I, this is why I do continue to push this, because I use it to fundraise and raise awareness. That's the only reason I push and try and publicise my profile, is for the awareness and the financial gain it can give to the charities I support.
Yeah.
I mean, in a few months for the half marathon, I use TikTok a lot, like for raising money for that.
Yeah.
Raised £1,600. £1,600.
Yeah.
Like, and that's crazy. Like,
did that all go to Man Down?
That all went to Man Down.
Yeah.
Every single bit.
That's massive as well, like, isn't it? Because it's not like you pay anything to go to them sessions.
No. It's all free. All the guys are volunteers.
Yeah.
Literally, the money, any money that's raised for Man Down goes into funding more meetings, you know, and funding awareness, basically. Do you know what I mean? And hopefully I'm going to be talking to a few more guys from Man Down who are actually volunteers. I've had some volunteers to come in.
Ideal.
Which will be awesome. So I don't know when that's going to be yet, but so far we have done the longest episode of the Pink Persuader on mental health.
Whoa.
I knew this would probably happen. That's the time. So we've been chatting for 58 minutes.
I mean, I could probably go for another two.
I'll tell you what, honestly. I'll tell you what, mate. I think, actually, I would love to have you back. Like, we just, this open chat. Like, you know, it has been awesome. Like, and to be able to sit and speak so candidly with a best friend is awesome. Like, we've got that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
But, like, before we sign off for this, what would be your message to someone out there that's maybe struggling?
Uh, probably just say, remember what I said. You know, you can reframe things. You can look at things differently. You can. It's, and the thing is, it's not that that's easy, but you've got to remember that everything's doable if you can think it.
Yeah.
Like, if you can think of a way to do it, you can think of ways to be happier than you can be. It's just, you know, a lot of it just, I think, just comes down to remembering that a lot of it's in your head.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really like, of course.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, you know, I know that not wanting to be here is how I feel, not actually what I want.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes being able to decipher between those things, like, can help. So, yeah, if anyone's struggling, reach out to your best friend,
Yeah.
reach out to your brother, reach out to your mum, reach out to whoever's there.
Yeah.
Samaritans as
Yeah.
well. Samaritans is always a good one. You
Yeah.
know, I mean, anything you can do to
Yeah.
avoid feeling alone, sad, you know, all those things. There's always options in other people,
Yeah.
even if you don't feel like it. Like, you can always explain to someone else that
Yeah. And
those,
sometimes it's not even explaining, it's just having someone else there, isn't it? Like, and
someone can
actually,
nod and say,
yeah.
"Oh, that's shit."
Yeah.
You know that, and if you know someone who can do that for you
Yeah.
happily, then, you know, lean in
Yeah.
on them is probably my best advice.
Yeah.
But like I said, if there's anyone out there who can kind of like think, "Oh yeah, reframe how I'm feeling," then I think that's the best thing
Yeah.
for me.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan. And I think like your aspects of this have been brilliant. This is why I want to talk to more. My idea is to talk to different people, like, because actually I don't know everything about mental health. I don't know what it's like to be an amputee.
You
Do you know
don't.
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's and hopefully we're gonna be able to talk to a lot of different people and carry on this podcast and help a lot of people. That's the whole aim of the game.
Want to watch it grow.
Yeah,
That'd be cool.
I really hope it will, and I hope it will. I did a thing on TikTok the other day. I was like, I posted a video. I'm like, this is an open message to Jared Reddick. I would love you to come on
Oh,
to the Pink Persuader on
oh
mental health.
God.
I'm gonna try and keep posting a few videos, see if I can get a response at least.
Please let me record it here for you
Yeah.
guys. Like, getting in the studio, like, lay on guitarist, play some more guitars. Come on, let's have a jam. People would be like, "Get out of here, man."
It would probably have to be like a Zoom thing, but that would make my day. Like,
I'll pay
that's when
the
I would be there. Do you know what I
bill.
mean? That's me reaching the
Yeah,
pinnacle of where I
I'll take
want
out a loan to
to
pay and get you.
be.
You heard it, Jared. I'll pay.
But no, for the time being, having my friends and fellow mental health sufferers come and do this podcast with me, that's enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thoroughly enjoy this. We've done an hour of recording, and it's just been us. Like,
Didn't feel like
this
it.
is not going to be edited at all. This is just a conversation between friends, and going to be listened to by other people. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is going to be background noise. There's going to be things that, there's going to be laughs. There's going to be times we talk over each other because we've got people with ADHD and we talk over each other. But I'll tell you what, I haven't done this time.
What's that?
I haven't messed up my words. Like, normally, in both episodes so far of the podcast, there's a moment where I've messed up my words, but I leave it in there because
Gotcha.
actually, it happens all the time. It happens when I'm talking most of the time.
Pretty sure I did it at some point
Yeah.
during this episode. It's fine.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
Well, this
I
is
don't
it,
even know about
and I think the most
it.
important thing is this is natural conversation.
Yeah.
And this is what I think
It's
is the
real.
most helpful, real thing. Yeah. But then, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
It's really been great to do this. And as always, guys, I want to say much love and be more kind. And also, stay pink and stay positive.